Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening because you are God's chosen generation.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, I've got a great hour lined up for you. And if you missed any of our first hour, we will have it up at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. By the way, I really encourage you to get over there and get your podcast loaded up, because yesterday we had Nurse Angela on, who was a victim of the vaccine. She took it because she believed those that told her that it was going to be safe. And her reaction to it was, well, everything but that. Everything but that. All right. Very excited to have my next guest on. He's a professor at Georgetown University. He is a friend of Chosen Generation Radio, a friend of mine. It's been a pleasure to be able to have conversations with him and glean from him. He's an incredible intellectual academic that has a biblical worldview. He's one of his books out is American Awakening, Identity Politics and Other Afflictions of Our Time. You can find him listed actually at Encounter Books. I encourage you to get over to the Encounter Books website and check him out over there. You can also find him at Georgetown University faculty. He is the professor of political theory, chairman of the government department, and also associate dean of faculty affairs. And during the 2008 to 2010 academic, he took a leave from Georgetown, was the acting chancellor of the American University of Iraq. So he has a tremendous background and understanding of what's happening in the Middle East as well. A number of great books, Plato's Fable on the Mortal Condition in Shadowy Times, Tocqueville in Arabia, Dilemmas in a Democratic Age, American Awakening, Identity Politics and Other Afflictions of Our Time, and The Gentle Seduction of Tyranny. I want to welcome Dr. Joshua Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. It's great to talk with you again.
Well, so here's the thing. There's, you know, I read off a list. I'll read that part of it. You know, there's an assault on parents. They're being vilified for raising their children. There's sexual assaults taking place in school bathrooms. And in Virginia, you're not supposed to report those. The U.S. Attorney General claimed ignorance about that, about girls being raped and sodomized at school, and made no indication that he's going to investigate. Live babies are being torn in pieces. Sodomy is being taught to our children as normal. They're forcing hate curriculum on children, teaching race-based hate, forcing people not to work because they can't get to work or because they're incentivizing them to stay home and not work. And we have a supply issue, and Christian constitutionalists are referred to now as terrorists, according to DHS. Does this sound like an assault on our country's primary values? And where does conservatism fit in? Define that for me, because I think part of the problem is that conservatives are now defined as domestic terrorists, it would appear.
Yeah, so this, you raised exactly the issues I would have raised as well. So I just wrote a piece that came out the other day where I think I've laid out what's going on here. I mean, America is based on the idea, at least the political regime, is based on the idea that you and I are competent citizens, that the Constitution gives us limited government because we can take care of ourselves, because we're free and responsible citizens to one another and to God. And through our families and our churches and our local communities, we can basically find our way. So the whole history of America is committed to the idea of citizen competence. What has changed is that under identity politics, which is the new ruling regime of the left, the issue is not your competence. The issue is your identity category, and more precisely, whether you are an innocent victim, and this is all non-whites, or whether you're a transgressor, and for now, it's whites. I have no interest as a Christian in defending any sort of racial politics whatsoever. But I call this the politics of innocence. That's what the left is all about. So illegal aliens are not illegal aliens because they're poor victims, and so we have to open the borders. We have to fly the gay pride flag or the LGBTQ++ flag in Kabul, Afghanistan, and the regime falls a week after we leave, and we wonder why. Well, it's because the only thing America seems to be committed to is innocent victims. So you've got this brand new politics, and the Biden regime is the first one to fully implement it. They don't care about competence. They care about virtue signaling, and you can't build a country that way. How have conservatives responded to this? My view is conservatives have responded very, very poorly. And I increasingly call myself less a conservative than a Christian, and I want to be clear what I mean by that. And jump in any time you want me to slow down or explain something.
Okay.
I think the problem with conservatism, in a way, is that it wants to say that America's a pure regime. And I believe in the Constitution and everything that the Founding Fathers tried to set up. But I think the Christian response is, no, we did the best we could. Human beings are broken and infallible, and we have to set up a regime that recognizes our brokenness, which would say recognizes our original sin and the grace that God calls us to understand and to accept. So conservatives, I think, have for the last 40 years have gone very much astray. There's been two major strains. There's been the, let's call it the libertarian strain, which is everything can be solved with free markets and global capitalism. And I'm all for free markets. Don't mistake that. But that's not enough as an oriented principle because it misses the Christian idea that that we're broken. And then the other piece that it endorses is the cultural conservative piece, which is to say our traditions are pure. So I think conservatism, in a funny way, hasn't grasped what I think you and I have always thought to be important, namely the brokenness of man and the call to redemption and sanctification. So it's strangely out of sync, out of sorts with what we need in order to restore the grandeur of our country.
So really, it's interesting. George Barna has done quite a bit of extensive research, and he indicates that our moral situation right now is what he refers to as a moral theistic dualism, or a watered-down, feel-good, fake Christianity. And that actually is a part of our problem. For example, 95% do not consider success in life to be described as consistent obedience to God, 91% do not believe that people are born into sin and need to be saved by Jesus Christ. 88% say they get their primary moral guidance from various sources other than the Bible. 76% contend that good people earn a place in heaven through their good behavior. 75% do not believe that God is the basis of all truth. 74% believe in karma. 73% say that having some type of religious faith is more important than which faith is embraced. And 71% do not believe the Bible's true and a reliable communication from God.
Yes. Well, we're in a bad way. Let us not forget, however, that the remnant is what you always need to look for. And with 12 people, you can change the world, that is to say the apostles. So let me put it to you this way. I think the problem is the following. It's a twofold problem. We have an incomplete religion. Identity politics is an incomplete religion which seeks to replace the biblical religion that you and I understand to be substantive for all of us. Now, it's an incomplete religion how? It means it's a partial religion. So it accepts the idea, the Christian idea, which I take to be the most astounding idea in all of history, namely that Christ, the divine scapegoat, takes upon himself the sins of the world. And only by Christ as the divine scapegoat taking on the sins of the world can the world be made new with each passing day because of the problem of sin. This is an astounding insight. And identity politics is an incomplete religion in that it takes the idea that you need a scapegoat, but instead of it being the transcendent scapegoat, the divine scapegoat that takes away the sins of the world, identity politics looks for a group, a physical group, in the world of time, and says if we can just purge that scapegoat, everything should be fine. And for the moment, the scapegoat is the white heterosexual male. And so if you look at every major Democratic Party agenda item, it's destroying fossil fuels, destroying capitalism, destroying the nation state, destroying Christianity, destroying the family. All of these things, presumably, were made by white men. This is the argument, the so-called problem of whiteness. So the great dream is if you can scapegoat everything that the white man has done, it will be fine. This is a profound pathology. So it's a halfway religion. That's the first thing I would say. And then very briefly, when you have a halfway religion, you also then get the reemergence of paganism, which Christianity tried to destroy. So various perversions of sexuality, pornography, sexual violence toward women. I mean, all this reemerges because the darker underside of humanity without the grace of God is sexual violence, all sorts of despicable things that Christianity tried to get rid of.
Well, I think the other part to this, I would take it a step further and suggest, and I agree with you, Joshua, targeted a particular group, but they've targeted humans in general. And they, the elite, believe that they have elevated themselves above that, that they are somehow more enlightened than the rest of humanity. So they see humans as a scapegoat, and I would argue that the basis for that is their acceptance and their propagating, proselytizing the idea of evolution. Man germinated, he evolved from animal, which is why they teach our children that, you know, they can't control their urges, right? And so how do we solve uncontrollable urges? We encourage those urges. And then what do we do with the product of those urges? We kill it, which is the abortion mentality. We abort it. And why do we abort it? Well, we abort it because ultimately that offspring is the problem. And then that's why we must understand that humans are the cause of all evil, all ill. But they don't see Christ as the answer to that. They see themselves as the answer to that, I would propose. And they see a pathway whereby they need to reduce the imprint of human beings And by doing so, that would allow nature to regenerate. We'll be back to talk more about this. My guest, Joshua Mitchell. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.
Hi, this is Michael, creator of Michael's MNP supplements. Let's talk energy. Do you wake up tired even after a full night's sleep? Does keeping up with your family and or your job leave you exhausted by noon? Do you find yourself turning way too early in the day and too often to caffeine-loaded drinks just to get you through it all? Why not turn to Michael's MNP's Energy Factors instead? Our Energy Factors are safe, healthy, and a natural way to keep your body energized and without that caffeine crash that you get from those laden drinks. Visit us today at michaelshealth.com.
This is Pastor Greg, and I use Energy Factors. They're great. Order yours today at michaelshealth.com. That's michaelshealth.com. And use Pastor Greg for your special discount. That's Pastor Greg, and get your special discount today. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program, Monday through Friday, with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically-based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest is Joshua Mitchell, and you can find Joshua Mitchell at Encounter Books. Encounter Books. And they have a great selection of Joshua's writings over there. American Awakening is one of those. He has a number of great books that you can pick up. And we're talking about the shift, of course, initially right now, as Professor Mitchell has talked about, the enemy of the world, according to the radical left, is white Christian males, and we began at that premise. I have suggested, going into our last break, that it goes beyond just simply that, but it goes to humanity as a whole, and the idea that man is the problem on Earth. Man is ultimately the plague. Evolution is one of the engines upon which that is based. We all came from animals, according to the left, and so therefore, you know, our evolution is actually what has been destructive to the world. And if we want to eliminate this destructive presence, then what we really need to do is we need to eliminate man, or minimize man's imprint on the earth, and let you know, let animals and the kingdom of animals, I guess, rise back up again, Professor.
I think that's right. What I said in the first segment was that the first scapegoat is the white heterosexual male, but I think you wisely pointed out to your audience that this is not where it ends. It ends with ultimately human beings being seen as the problem. So if you take a purely natural evolutionary view, you're going to be very perplexed by this creature called man who believes in good and evil, who has certain proprieties about marriage, believes it's divine, suffers from sin, and makes claims that God can redeem our sin. This looks very strange from a purely evolutionary perspective. So, strangely enough, though, they recognize, even those who defend this, that there is man is a peculiar creature. He can't quite fit into nature. But their response to that is, well, look at what he does. Everything he does is evil. There's no redemption in him, and so what we have to do is erase him altogether. The Christian response to this is, yes, it's true. Man is sinful. My dog does not suffer from sin, nor do my redbud trees that I'm looking at out my window. Man alone suffers from this problem, but thanks be to God, Christ came to redeem us from that suffering. So the Christian answer to the problem of stain, of man's stain, is a divine reconciliation. If you take a natural view of man, then you're going to say, well, there's this creature who does these horrible things, and we have to eradicate him. Now, just quickly, there's a strange paradox here, because the climate change argument is, in a way, incoherent. It still reflects a kind of human-centric view, and let me explain. So what's the creature that's the kind of poster for climate change? What's the polar bear? Right? We've got to protect the polar bears. But polar bears are mammals, just like us. And the way I mockingly talk about this, I say that climate change is mammal-centric. We have to protect the mammals. But honestly, burning fossil fuels, raising the temperature of the globe, if you're serious that nature can have her way, then look, the insects are just going to love this climate change thing. The insects, the reptiles, all the non-mammals are going to really survive. So I say that climate change is mammal-centric, kind of mocking these people who say they're neutral, but in point of fact, we're a mammal, according to them. Polar bears are mammals. So it's a very, very strange world. If you're really fixed on nature as the only criteria, you wouldn't be interested in protecting the polar bears at all. So there's still a kind of human prejudice
this.
But ultimately, yes, the project is a death cult. It is the belief that
yes,
only through the eradication of everything human can we restore the purity of the world. And the longing for purity, we should be very clear, is a religious longing. It is not a scientific longing. So here are these people who claim the mantle of science, but their longing is a religious longing. And so if they were consistent, they wouldn't even have the religious longing to eradicate man. But they've got the religious longing combined with this evolutionary view, which means we have to destroy man very quickly.
I when you were talking about the polar bear, I was imagining kind of a parallelism, and I was thinking about Templeton, right, who was the great preacher that preached in Europe with Graham and actually had greater results than Billy Graham himself, who came to L.A. having seen a picture of a young girl starving in a National Geographic picture and began to question God as a result of that. But I saw a parallelism between the polar bear, right, and this little girl. And, of course, now the left has exchanged those two. But I think, let me read this to you real quick, because I think this is where Christianity has backpedaled. Oh, I can't even get this in. If sin made man irredeemable aside from an intervention by God, then it suggests a better understanding of John 3 as Jesus describes rebirth. It also accounts for the need for men to die with Christ, his nature, man's nature. If he were not that evil, then a simple covering up would be sufficient. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the animal sacrifices which were made were a covering up of the nature of sin, but not the transformational encounter to which Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension exposes us. Christianity has backed away from the real answer to this, which is the recognition that through Christ, man's nature can be changed forever, permanently, and it can happen right here and right now. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, more Chosen Generation Radio.